Welcome, everyone. I know that all of you like travel articles and nature articles, and we have people here who love to travel. And remember who one of those is? Who's that?
Hi, everyone. I'm Pauline. It's true. You know I love to travel.
And I think everybody really should enjoy traveling because there's so many interesting places to see in the world. Isn't that true?
That's true. You never run out of places to go discover.
And, of course, there's places that are man-made places like museums and things. But I think it's always nice to go and visit places where you can see nature, how beautiful it is. Don't you, Pauline?
I agree. That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, Zach, you like to travel too, don't you?
I enjoy traveling. Always an honor, thrill to do that. And then, yeah, in particular, discovering those natural places, in particular around Taiwan. I think there's some really beautiful, natural places.
Taiwan and the Philippines and Japan and and China, mainland China. Oh, there's so many interesting things. So we can keep traveling, can't we?
That's right. Now
we're going to go over to South America.
I think most of our listeners know I have a soft spot in my heart for Spanish-speaking countries. I lived in Costa Rica for many years, which actually isn't too far away from Ecuador, and I did get to visit Ecuador. It's a beautiful country.
How long did you live in Costa Rica?
I lived in Costa Rica about 6 years.
Wow.
And I was in Ecuador for about 2 months.
Oh, and you took a lot of pictures. In fact, some of the bird pictures that we have in our lesson today, I think you took the pictures, didn't you, Pauline?
You're right. I did take some of them. If you look really closely, you'll see my name in tiny letters next to the pictures that I took. To be honest, these birds are birds that I saw in Costa Rica and took pictures of, but I did my research, and many of the birds that I saw in Costa Rica can also be found in Ecuador, and these ones in particular can be found in the national park areas that we're going to be talking about today.
So that's why we're glad to have you with us today, because you know about these places. But there's so many beautiful places and so many beautiful wild animals and birds. Today it's going to be mostly about birds, isn't it?
That's right. I think bird watching is really fun. Actually, Taiwan is another place that's great for bird watching. And if any of you listeners are interested in birds, I think you'll really enjoy this article learning about some in South America.
Well, not only in Taiwan, if you go down to places like Australia and New Zealand, they have some of the most beautiful birds I've ever seen down there in Australia. You'll have to try those sometime.
Ooh, I'd love to.
So there's beautiful birds every place, and they go around from one place to another, don't they?
That's true. And sometimes I've noticed you'll see large groups of people with their long lenses and their camera equipment, and they're kind of tracking where, the chance to see one of these beautiful birds. And so, yeah, did you ever come across that in your time, just people with their
cameras
here and some of their lenses?
I was usually that person.
She was
usually. Yeah, you're part of the pack.
Well,
fun.
If you like bird watching, there's a lot of places to go. But Ecuador is a bird watcher's paradise. And a paradise is just the most beautiful place that you can think of. Now, there are some maps here on page 39, and that shows you a little bit where Ecuador is.
That's right. You'll see it's in the top part of South America, and right up above it is Colombia, and then you get to Central America. So it's top part of South America.
So we're going to talk about this place, and there's some good Spanish words coming in here, but we're going to find out why visitors flock to this place in southwest Ecuador, because they want to see some of the world's rarest birds. The word flock, we sometimes think of a flock of geese or flock. A flock is the way that we say it, like a flock of birds is a whole group of birds, isn't it?
Right. So they're doing a play on words here because we associate the word flock with birds when it's a noun, but then as a verb, it can just mean a bunch of people go somewhere.
Yeah, flock together, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the rarest birds? That means that there aren't very many of them.
That's right. So if something is rare, there's not a lot of them, and it's a very special or unique experience to be able to spot one of these birds. And so, yeah, you can kind of get the idea if they're finding rare birds, this is a special occasion.
So whether you're a bird watcher or not, you can watch out for some good words that are coming here.
That's
so
right.
We hope you're all flocking to your magazines right now and getting ready. Are you ready to start?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're on page 38, and we're going to read the left-hand column, so read along with us.
Ecuador, a bird watcher's paradise. Visitors flock to southwest Ecuador to see some of the world's rarest birds. In 1998, a small group of bird watchers in Ecuador stared intently as a diminutive bird darted along the ground. They soon realized they had discovered a Hocotoco anpita, which was thought to be extinct. The fact that this species was alive and well in Tapichalaca's cloud forest in southwest Ecuador galvanized them into action. Within a short time, the group founded one of Ecuador's leading nonprofit conservation groups, the Hocotoco Conservation Foundation, and raised enough money to buy more than 12,000 acres of the steamy forest. Soon after, they built a lodge at Tapichalaca and hired a local staff to maintain the reserve. From this humble beginning, the Hocotoco Foundation has steadily expanded to 11 reserves scattered around the country, conserving some of the planet's most endangered birds and accompanying biodiversity.
Well, there's a lot of interesting words, and, you know, it's funny how in different languages they don't pronounce certain things. They called this the Hocotoco, but in line 7, it looks to me like Jocotoco. Isn't that a J?
That's right. Of course, in English, we pronounce that letter J, a J sound, but in Spanish, they don't pronounce it. They pronounce it like a Y. So that's why we hear it called Hocotoco instead of Jocoto or something with a J.
So don't wonder about your reading. You're reading it okay. It's just that they pronounce it differently, don't they?
Right.
Okay. So you can help us out with those words. But a small group of these bird watchers, they were looking very intently. They were just concentrating on a very tiny, small, diminutive bird that was darting along the ground, running along the ground. The birds, kind of like the chickens, they start running around the ground sometimes, don't they?
That's right.
And what did they discover then?
Well, the reason they were so interested in this tiny little bird was that it was a very rare bird. In fact, they discovered this bird and they were excited because they thought it was extinct. They thought this bird didn't exist anymore in the world, and they discovered that it was still there in this area of the world.
And there's a picture of this bird right here. And what does the caption say under the picture?
It says, a Hocotoco anpita at Tapichalaca Reserve in Ecuador.
Does that sound like an English class to you?
My goodness, I'm so glad Pauline is here right now. Wow.
Doesn't sound like an English lesson. It sounds like a Spanish lesson.
Well, you get a broader sense of the language, and so that's always a good thing. And I really appreciate this word here. You can learn. We don't have a chance to put everything in kind of bold and italicized under our vocabulary focus, but this word extinct, right? Pauline explained, you know, if something is extinct, it no longer exists.
Right.
And this is a really helpful word when we're getting into nature features. And I think another word that you could learn would be at the bottom of this column, endangered. So if a bird or an animal is endangered, it might become extinct. They're becoming fewer and fewer.
Not only birds, but they said like elephants. People keep hunting and killing the elephants, and they might become extinct. And it's terrible to think of these beautiful things in nature becoming no more. Wouldn't that be terrible?
It would be terrible, although I think a story like today's story is really inspiring because it's all about how some people discovered an animal that they thought was extinct, but it isn't, although it's in danger, and then they did something about it. They helped so that it would not become extinct.
And what word did we use here, Zach, that said that it caused them to do something? What word did we use in English?
I think you're referring to this word galvanize, right? And so to galvanize, it kind of causes someone to take action, to do something about it. It says galvanize them into action.
Right. So discovering that this species was still alive, it wasn't extinct yet, inspired them to do something about it.
And it didn't take them very long. In a very short time, this little group got together and they started something. When you found something, that means you begin some kind of a foundation or a group.
That's right.
To take care of it, right?
Right. And here they started what is now Ecuador's leading. So leading, it's top non-profit conservation group. So non-profit just meaning it's not for profit. It's not a business that's making money, but it's there for a different reason. And the reason is conservation.
Right.
Now, what did you call the group? I'm going to see whether Zach can say that now. What do you call it?
Okay, they are called the Yokotoko Conservation Foundation?
Is pretty right? Close.
Okay.
How
right.
would you say that one?
Hokotoko.
Hokotoko. Okay. Sounds like hokey pokey or something, you know. It's a very funny word.
Well, and I do want to say, at the top of the show, I had referred to these places that we're going to learn about as national parks, but they're actually not national parks. It's slightly different because these are reserves that we're going to learn about that this nonprofit organizations raised money to buy land. So it wasn't the government that set aside land. It was a bunch of people who donated money to this nonprofit, and the nonprofit bought land to set aside to help preserve the animals and the
environment. So it wasn't the government that did it, but this private group. Okay.
Right.
And they raised enough money to buy 12,000 acres of this, what they call it, steamy forest. It sounds to me like a kind of a subtropical country.
Right. It goes actually back to that specialized term that came up above, cloud forest. So it's a special type of mountain forest that is almost always covered in clouds and therefore is always very moist and wet, although also hot. So you get that idea of the steam.
So you kind of think of a rainforest.
It's similar.
Okay. A little bit. You know, although they're not always that steamy, the rainforests, not necessarily.
Yeah, I think, and I can't, you could look this up to be for sure, but I think a cloud forest is a type of rainforest.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on that.
Right. We'll have to check on some of these things. But soon after that, they built a lodge. Now, why would they build a lodge there?
Well, that's a good question. We see that one benefit it had was that they were able to hire local staff. And so that's great when you can provide jobs to the locals because they've set this land aside and the locals can't use this land to cut down trees and make money from the trees or those kind of things. But they can make money by being hired to help take care of the reserve, to take care of this land.
I mean, you think when you build a lodge, you go someplace where people go skiing or they're doing something, river rafting. But now why would they build a lodge up there in this cloud forest?
Well, I am guessing that tourists, people who are interested especially in rare birds, are going to want to come and visit. So they also built a lodge so people can come do that. And will also hopefully put money into this project to continue conserving it.
Now, let's not avoid that word. Where did they build the lodge?
They built it at Tapichilaca.
Oh, boy. Can you say that? Tapichilaca.
Tapichilaca.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds like something to eat. Like it sounds like kind of food or something, doesn't it?
Could be, yeah. And actually, I think some of these words aren't even Spanish. They're probably
Indian words.
Exactly,
huh?
Indigenous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So they hired people to maintain this place where they a safe place for these birds. And it was a very humble beginning. It wasn't a big thing and a big deal. But this foundation started that one place, and they expanded.
That's right. And that's kind of the good picture of this phrase, a humble beginning. If something has a humble beginning, it starts out small. A group of people have an idea. They team up, and they put one foot in front of the other. And that's how a lot of these reserves or foundations begin, is they all have humble beginnings with a dream, and now they have expanded to over 11 reserves. So you can see it's growing now.
All over the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says scattered around the country. So mm-hmm. you know they're not all in the same area of the country. When we say scattered, we know they're kind of dispersed around the country.
And the end of that sentence tells us what they do.
Right. So here they are conserving some of the planet's most endangered birds. Earlier we said endangered means they are becoming fewer and fewer. Maybe they are endangered of becoming extinct. But thanks to this effort, they are conserving, they are helping to save them, and they are accompanying biodiversity.
Right. Oh, so that's a big word, biodiversity,
yeah.
Right?
So not only are they helping save the birds in this area, but birds aren't the only thing that live in these forests, right? There's a lot of biodiversity, and that refers to the plants and animals and insects and all the life that is teeming in these forests.
So that's a good word to know.
Well, and when you think of an ecosystem, you know, one thing kind of follows another. So if you're going to help protect the birds, you know, they live off the land. And so they go hand in hand.
Right. So this is what we're going to talk about then. This place that probably most of us have never heard of or even thought of, but let's just gaze on it and see this dazzling display that we're going to see. Are you ready to see what it's going to be like?
Let's go.
Let's read the rest of the lesson today. We're on page 38.
A dazzling display. You don't have to be a hardcore bird watcher to be mesmerized by the dazzling display of hummingbirds and various other tropical birds that swarm to the feeders at the Hokotoko reserves we visited, especially our favorite one, Buenaventura. Although the larger birds provided momentary excitement when they appeared, what truly captured our attention was the never-ending stream of hummingbirds of every size and shape, ranging from tiny brown-green hummers with almost no tail to impressively large rainbow-tinted ones, some with tails longer than their body. Through Hokotoko tours, my wife Sharon and I managed to experience some of the best bird viewing in the world. Ecuador has 1,600 bird species, compared with around 800 in the United States. Our first introduction to this remarkable organization took us to the Yanacocha Reserve. Perched high in the Andes Mountains at 11,000 to 13,000 feet, this reserve, like the others, was mainly established to protect critically endangered birds, in this case, the 300 remaining black-breasted puff-leg hummingbirds found nowhere else on Earth.
Well, this sounds like quite a dazzling display, something that you would really notice. It. There's so much variety and colors and everything, isn't that right?
Yeah, when you hear the word dazzling, you usually think of something that's very colorful and bright, something like a jewel almost.
Now, some of us might think, oh, that would be nice to see all these birds, but that doesn't mean that you're maybe like a hardcore, meaning that you would just, this is your main thing to go there for. Are you kind of hardcore on some of this stuff, Pauline?
I think I'm
a little bit between. In between, right.
I'm a hardcore traveler,
well,
I would say.
That's good, right.
And I maybe am a bird enthusiast.
Right. So you like butterflies, too.
And butterflies. I'm an enthusiast, so that means I really enjoy it. I do spend some time and money going out and enjoying them, but not maybe to the degree that some people do.
It's almost professional to be hardcore.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
When I think about a hardcore bird watcher, I think of people who have tripods, those stands mm-hmm. where they put the cameras on, and then they have these huge long lenses that are almost as long as your arm, and then they'll sit there for hours and hours
they
and hours.
They probably work for National Geographic.
Right.
I think you're referring to the picture on page 40.
Yeah.
Right? He looks pretty hardcore. He's got the tripod. Long
oh,
lens.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
He's probably a hardcore photographer mm-hmm. and birder.
Right.
But you know, the nice thing is we learn that you don't have to be a hardcore birder to enjoy and be mesmerized by the dazzling display of hummingbirds and other birds in this area. Even if it's not your number one most favorite thing, it's still going to be very enjoyable.
Well, I hope all of you have had some opportunity in your life to see birds like hummingbirds. In some areas, people don't even notice them, but they just buzz around so much, don't they?
You know, Doris, I learned just a couple years ago, I was so surprised to learn that hummingbirds only exist in the Americas. You can't find them
in Asia. Because I remember seeing them when I was a kid.
Of course, yeah, in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the Americas, right? Yeah. And into South America. But if you really want to see a hummingbird, and they are beautiful, they really can be like the color of jewels, you're going to have to travel a long distance away from Asia to see those. But they're an amazing thing to see.
Why do they call them hummingbirds?
Oh, good question. That's because their wings move so fast, you can actually hear it a little bit if they zoom by you really close by.
Have you seen any before, Zach?
Oh, I have, yeah. I remember growing up as a kid, we had a feeder in the backyard, and they would kind of come along, and they would get their nectar and move along.
And it seemed like they keep moving while,
Yeah, it's amazing. They kind of almost pause in the air.
I'm glad you talked about feeders because we actually see that in our continued sentence here. It says you can see hummingbirds and various other tropical birds that swarm to the feeders at Hakoto Reserves. So the feeders here, we're not talking about people holding food. We're actually talking about this. Usually they're
like a
red.
Little cage or something that has food in it for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, or usually actually it's just like hanging thing with nectar or like a sugar water liquid that the birds can come to, the hummingbirds will come to and suck that out. Although if it's a different kind of bird, then it'll be more like that cage you were talking about where they can peck off seeds or other things.
They have big birds too. Now, the birds you talked about now are kind of small. Hummingbirds are not very big usually, but they're these beautiful larger birds. And when people would see those, say, wow, look at that. And that would really give a lot of excitement. But even though you might not see all the big birds all the time, just the never-ending, constantly stream, one hummingbird after another really makes it quite exciting.
Oh, yeah, and the colors on them are extraordinary. Just as a quick note, if you're wondering what some of those bigger birds might be, I was reading about the birds in this area, and you can see toucans. Those are the ones with the really huge beaks.
Right. Yeah, beautiful.
Really beautiful colors. And they also have macaws there. Those are those really big parrots, the big red ones that you will see on pictures and things. You can see those in Ecuador too.
So
those
would
be those would be some examples of really big, exciting birds.
But you don't see as many of those as you do with these hummingbirds. There just seem to be so many of them there. And that's good because the hummingbirds, they go around and they eat the nectar from the plants, and then they go to other plants, and they keep the forest going, don't they?
That's why they actually help with pollination.
Mm-hmm. Well, they must really, really enjoy it. We're talking about food, right? And so that verb to swarm, earlier we talked about their swarming of the feeders. Yeah, just that they really, really like it, so they kind of move quickly and they kind of to be able to feed on it.
Yeah, and a lot of them. When you hear of a swarm of something, we might say a swarm of bees, mm-hmm. and that's kind of scary because you think there's so many of them. But in this case, a swarm of hummingbirds sounds beautiful. It means a lot of them.
Well, and that tells you that they're not all the same kind, is it? When it ranges from, there's a variety of them. The little tiny brown green hummers, and they don't have much of a tail. This one we're looking at here on the page 38 doesn't seem to have much of a tail. But you look over at page 39 and you see a hummingbird with a big long tail that's longer than its body.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So those are all different kinds of hummingbirds. I never thought about hummingbirds having so many kinds. Did you?
No, I didn't. One particular bird here, it's not a hummingbird, but I know you'll see it often in Taiwan. I think it's the blue magpie. It's got that great long tail. I always love seeing those here in Taiwan.
Oh, I also wanted to note this word hummers. It talks about ranging from tiny brown green hummers to other kinds of hummers. Here they are just shortening the word hummingbird to hummers.
Hummers. They're the birds that hum around like that.
Right.
Okay. And some of the birds also are very impressively large, and they're rainbow-tinted. ones. And some of the tails are longer than their bodies. So this is what we find about a lot of species. You know, we have studio classroom owls, and I've looked at, seen how many kinds of owls, every color. Some are tinted, some are white, and they're all kinds. And that's the way with hummingbirds. There's all kinds of them, not just one kind, right?
Yeah, it really is amazing to see the creativity in our world of animals.
Well, so when you go to these tours, you can see some of the best bird viewing in the whole world if you want to go to Ecuador, because they have how many species down there?
So many. It says 1,600 bird species can be found in Ecuador, and that's compared with only 800 in the United States. This is especially surprising because if you look at the map again, Ecuador is a very small country. It's smaller than my state in the United States. And, you know, the United States has 50 states, so it's probably at least 50 times bigger than Ecuador, but it doesn't even have half the amount of birds.
So would you probably accredit that to kind of the
where
climate?
Where they are. They're on the, down the
right.
equator down there.
That's right.
And actually, in South America, you have Brazil, which is just not too far from there.
That's right.
And Brazil has 1,800 bird species, the most of any place in the world. So South America is a place for birds, isn't it?
That's right. It's a great place to go to experience some amazing biodiversity.
Right. And so it says that they see all of these different birds in these reserves, and they try to protect these endangered birds. And it says the 300 remaining black-breasted pufflake hummingbirds. That's a certain kind. There's no place in the world, if you want to go see one of the black-breasted pufflake hummingbirds, wow, you have to go there.
That's right. And that's at the Yanacocha Reserve. That's one of the 11 reserves that the Hokotoko Foundation has, you know, now created.
So we're going to find out more about this because we have one more day. So we'll be with you tomorrow and look up some of these things, look up pictures, and then check out the magazine. And we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.